a series called The Good Life, and we're going to continue on this morning. We have talked about all kinds of things with this this series, and we started a couple weeks ago with the Sermon on the Mount, and we are going back to that today. So if you got your Bible, you can go ahead and start turning there to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to reread those Beatitudes and just kind of dive into that again. Now, I don't know, have you ever had like a noise in your house and you've tried to locate it where it's at? Anybody? You've been there, you know, and you're trying to figure out what is this noise? You know, it could be the sound. It could be the sound of we have an upstairs, and, you know, I hear, you know, my boys sometimes. And I kind of know what it is. It sounds like somebody is dying and they're just falling down all kinds of steps. You know, sometimes, you know, you know what it is. Sometimes you can't figure out what it is. And then sometimes you know what it is, but you can't figure out where it is, okay? And usually it is those things that we have, and every one of us should have these in our home, and it's the smoke detector, right? And I know that they program these things to only let you know that the battery is weak at 2 a.m. I promise you, because that's the only time that they will go off. They won't do it at 2 p.m. in the afternoon when you're laying. They won't do it when you're just kind of like walking by it. It's going to wait till you're fast asleep and it's 2 a.m. and then you hear beep. And you're like, oh, where is it? What? Beep. And you're like, I'm not going to be able to sleep. I can't go back to sleep. So I have to find this thing. And you're running around the house trying to figure out which one is beeping. And I think it's like, I think they make them like ventriloquists to like throw their beeps across the house. You know, you're like across the house. It's like, this is not it. Which one is it? And you're like taking a broom and you're hitting it. And maybe that's just me, you know. But I've been there. I've been there where I've tried to find the source of the beeping or the source of the noise. And I kind of want to talk to you a little bit about that today, is finding the source, because I think this is important for us. Finding the source, really, for especially when it comes to smoke detectors, finding the source is critical for you to get back to sleep, because until you find it, you're not going back to sleep, right? You're just going to keep hearing the beep. And so we've talked about, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the good life, and I just want to recap real quick. We've talked the last couple weeks about a couple statements we made. The good life is one that recognizes that not everything in life is good, all right? We started there, that the good life is one that is able to recognize that not everything is good. But last week, we picked up with another statement that we also recognize that God is good and he does only good. And that is important to our theology. That's important that we're not throwing indictments against God, that God, you're just angry and mad at me and now you're taking this out on me and you're trying to get payback on me. Well, Scripture plainly tells us, and when we saw that last week in the Psalms, that God is good. And we looked at that Hebrew word tov, and tov, not toes, tov, T-O-V, tov is good in Hebrew. And we see that God is tov, and he does only tov. And so that's important for us to know that, all right, God, you're not just trying to beat me down. You're not just trying to get me back. God, you are a good God, and you have good for us. So what does this look like as we continue to go along? And we've asked some questions over the last couple weeks. We've asked, what is the good life? You know, and that's kind of where we have to just keep asking that. You know, we've been asking that question, what is the good life and how do you get it? And we've talked about that it's not really something that we attain. It's not something like, hey, I'm going to get a degree or something. I'm going to school and I'm working for it, right? The good life is one that is actually given to us. If we're believers, it's already given to us in the life of Jesus. And it's not something that we have to reach to attain. It's something that we actually flows out of us because of who Jesus is in us. And so, you know, we've asked these questions. What is the good life and how do you get it? Today I want to ask you another question. And this question I want to ask you, what makes you happy? What makes you happy? You know, what are the things in your life that make you happy? What are the moments that make you happy? What are those? Maybe it's that first cup of coffee in the morning. Anybody? Come on. You know, hopefully you're happy this morning because you had your coffee, okay? So today's question is, what makes you happy? Now, I want us to go, and I said, we're going back to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to start reading here. I think verse 2 says, and he opened his mouth, talking about Jesus, because he went up on a mountainside to teach the crowds that had come to him. And in verse 2 of Matthew chapter 5, and he said, he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus makes these statements, and I want you to get this, that he's using the word blessed, but you could actually put in there happy. Happy are those who have this happen. Happy are those who are able to see life in this way. And so that's why I asked that question, what makes you happy? Because I think sometimes what we think makes us happy and what Jesus is telling us makes us happy are two different things. And I think that's important to distinguish between these. And it's funny because you start reading these and it's like, blessed are the poor. Happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's like, that sounds like Jesus is saying happy are the unhappy, right? It doesn't make a lot of sense in a way. And happy are the unhappy with kind of a question mark there. Is that true? See, the way we experience the good life, I think, according to Jesus, is countercultural. It's counterintuitive. Sometimes we think we know how we got to get to the good life, but Jesus is presenting a totally different experience for us as he goes through these Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, or happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed or happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed or happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And when you start thinking about these things, and what Jesus is doing is he's kind of throwing out there, these are qualities that you don't really find everywhere. These qualities of humility, these qualities of comfort, these qualities of purity, this quality of hungering and thirsting for righteousness. What is that? You know, when we think righteousness, sometimes we think piety, but I want you to think less piety, and I want you to think more right relationship, right standing. When you are in a good relationship, when you're in good relationship with someone else, that idea of having a right standing with them. And so when we're seeing all this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for right relationship, rightness with God, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure, the merciful and the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so we see this, and it's almost like Jesus is saying, happy are the unhappy in a sense. But see, Jesus is drawing on an ancient tradition. He is drawing on what's called wisdom literature. And what is wisdom literature? Wisdom literature is found in the Old Testament. And you can go back and you begin to read the Psalms. You go back and you begin to read Proverbs. You back and you read Ecclesiastes. You read the Song of Solomon, right? And you start reading these things. And Job, the book of Job, all this is considered wisdom literature. And so Jesus is drawing on this deep well of wisdom tradition that he's grown up in. And in a sense, when you think about it, he gave because he is God. I believe that he is God. I believe that he had shown himself and revealed himself to be God. And so if God spoke this and God inspired this, then Jesus knows where this came from, right? He's just pulling from what he has been able to give us through inspiration. So what makes you happy? So what makes you happy? More than just a cup of coffee, what makes you happy? How many of you guys, maybe a boat makes you happy? Cars make you happy, right? And sometimes they make you unhappy when they don't work. Ladies, shopping. How many of you're happy when you're shopping? Guys, how many of you guys are happy when you're shopping, right? If you're buying something for yourself. Maybe you're at Bass Pro. You know, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're doing, right? So boats and cars and shopping. Shoes. Does anybody's shoes make you happy? Come on. That's all right. Some of you I know. I'm not going to call you out, but I know. I see you. Shoes make you happy. Trips, maybe, that you go on. Maybe that's some of you guys I've seen, you know, your Instagram and your Facebook, and you've taken some great trips, some really good trips, right? And so we actually have some Lisa over here. She can help you take a trip, right, today. That's right. You can see her. She's a travel agent. She can help you take a really good trip. So what are the things that make you happy? Maybe it's new toys. Maybe it's boats, cars, shopping, shoes. Maybe it's stuff not like that, though. Maybe it's things like success. Success. Maybe success makes you happy, or achievement where you have gained, or maybe you have climbed the ladder in your career and you've gotten a promotion and you've gotten another position. And maybe you're saying, hey, this is what makes me happy, being able to climb that ladder. Now, I want to give you this, though, because this is something I think that Jesus is trying to help us understand. If your happiness comes from things, it will only last as long as the newness of that thing lasts. If your happiness comes from things, it'll only last as long as that thing lasts, or the newness of that thing lasts. And you know that's true, because me and you both have purchased things like, oh, I'm so happy right now. You know, you're unboxing it, whatever that thing that is you're unboxing, right? And you get it out, and, man, this is great. I love this. Maybe it's a new phone. Maybe it's a new computer, whatever it is. I love this, you know, and you rock along for a little bit, and kind of the newness wears off. You're like, well, I'm not so happy anymore with this. And I need something else. I need a newer one to make me happy again. I need something that is maybe a little bit newer, the upgrade, a little bit shinier. It's not as scratched up. It's not as dinged up. You know, the warranty is still good on it. And so I need something new to help make me happy. So if your happiness comes from things, it will only last as long as the newness of that thing. If your happiness is found in your success, you will never be satisfied. If you're trying to climb that ladder of success and you get to that rung, you said, if I could only get to that next rung, and I get to that, you know what? And you're like, oh, man, I'm satisfied. But after a while, you're not satisfied, because you're like, what's the next level? What's the next rung on the ladder? What's the next career move? If your happiness is found in success, you'll never be satisfied. There will always be another rung on the ladder to try to attain. And so I think this is what Jesus is speaking to. You know, when he's saying things like, you know, hey, righteousness and mercy and purity and being a peacemaker, these are all the things that are really important. These are the things that are the quality of it is much greater sometimes than what we look at with our life and the things that we point our life to that we try to get happiness from. See, your happiness will never be bigger than the source. I want you to get that. Your happiness will never be bigger than its source. So what's the source? When I talked a little bit about the beep earlier, trying to find the source, what's the source of your happiness? Because if you can go back and find the source of your happiness, you'll be able to gauge how much happiness you're going to have. Because if it's stuff, it's only going to be as good as long as that stuff is new and shiny. If it's success, actually, you're probably never going to find you know, that satisfaction that you really want, because there's always going to be that another role. I wish I'd have done this, or maybe I wish I'd have done this. Wish I'd have got that other degree. So what's the source of your happiness? Maybe that's the better question to ask. Not what makes you happy, what's the source of your happiness? What's the source of your happiness? See, most of us need a bigger and better source for our life. Most of us, me included, I need a bigger and better source for my happiness. If I'm allowing stuff to be the thing that makes me happy, I need something that's better. I need something that's bigger. See, happiness is based on external factors such as food and entertainment and material possessions. That's kind of how we base this a lot of times. Our happiness is based on these external things. And it only provides a short-term satisfaction, and it quickly fades, and you know that. After the shine is gone, after the newness wears off, it's like, the pleasure's kind of up for me. I don't get as much pleasure out of this thing anymore. I don't get as much delight out of this thing anymore. So what is some of this wisdom literature that we can pull from? If Jesus is pointing us into a direction, and Jesus is saying, hey, this is what life can look like with a different set of a different matrix that you're using to make your choices, a different set of standards, a different set of qualities that you're looking for in your life. If we can go back and look at what's Jesus getting at. And I think we can go to Psalm. Let's go to Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37, and some of you may know this verse. Psalm chapter 37, and I'm just going to read verses 3 and 4. This is what it says. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. What's that word there? Come on, guys. Tov, right? It's good is tov, right? So trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do tov. We talked about that last week. And what? Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. It's kind of a funny way of saying it. You know, that faithfulness, you can befriend it. Almost talking about it in relational terms. But trust in the Lord and do good and dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. This is what I love. Delight yourself in what? Yourself. Delight yourself in your stuff. Delight yourself in your success. Delight. That's not what it says. See, because the psalmist here is understanding. He's pulling on this idea of what is really wise. The wisdom that we found is not in ourself, and it's not in our stuff. And the psalmist here is saying, hey, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And see, I think sometimes, you know, you say, well, you know, so I'm gonna serve God so he can give me what I want. That's not really how that works. Actually, I serve God so he can transform what I want. I want you to get that. It's not just so that I serve God so I can get stuff. It's because as I serve God, he transforms what I want. He transforms what I desire. He transforms how I see the world. He transforms how I see things and how I see people and how I see career and how I see success. He transforms every bit of that. And that's why the psalmist says, delight yourself in the Lord. And some of you may be wondering, why do I have Play-Doh up here? Right? So you've been looking at this can of Play-Doh. It's like, why does he have Play-Doh up there? Right? How many of you like Play-Doh? Play-Doh was cool, right, in the day, until your kids left it out, and then it became a mess, right? So Play-Doh, and this one's good because it's still pliable. I just lost it. So this scripture, I kind of think of it as the Play-Doh scripture. When it says, delight yourself in the Lord, this word delight in the original language has the idea of Play-Doh. You say, they had Play-Doh back then? No, they did not have Play-Doh back then. But they did understand the idea of being pliable and soft. And what that really means is delight yourself means to be soft and pliable. You say, well, you know, I'll stop going to the gym and I'm kind of soft and pliable. That's not what I'm getting at, okay? What I'm saying is this, is that when we come to God, he wants us to be like this so that he can form us and shape us and mold us and make us what he wants us to be. When we're able to come to God in that way, when we're able to delight in the Lord and come in a way that is humble and in a way that is allowing God, you change me, change my desires, transform me. When we do that, we're able to be shaped into what God wants us to be. Now, you all know what happens when I leave this lid off and I just leave the Play-Doh out, right? What happens with it? It becomes less pliable. It becomes hard. And what happens? It's like all the surrounding, the environment, what it does, it just dries it out. And that's actually a great picture for you and I. That when we allow everything that we're surrounded with, and if we make happiness of the external factors our focus, and that's what we're really basing our life on, you know what's going to happen? We're going to get hard, dry, and brittle. And we're not going to be pliable. Actually, we become hard to what God wants us to be. We become hardened to what God wants us to do. We become hardened to what God wants us to hear. And he can't do much with us at that point. And so for us, this is a picture. He's painting a picture. He's saying, delight yourself in the Lord. Because when you delight yourself in the Lord and you allow yourself to be shaped and molded by God, there's some things he'll cut out of life. There's some things he'll remove out of life. And there are some things, you know what? He'll shape in and he'll form. And it'll be a much better quality. It is a much different way of looking at life. See, I think this is what we really have to get to. Happiness is not about a what, but a who. Happiness is not about what, but who. The good life is not found in our what's. Right? That's what makes you happy. Nothing really, you know. What makes you happy? The good life is not found in our what's. The good life is found in our who's. Right? It's found in our who's. Most of our happy memories revolve around people. There may be favorite items and products that you have. There may be things that you have. But I want you to think about those things that you have. Maybe that's been passed along to you. Why are those some of your favorite things? It's because probably there's a person's memory who's attached to it. There are things that I have of my dad, and it's not because I just really value. I got a sign. It just says Pastor Jesse Ogden. It's just a wooden sign. Pastor Jesse Ogden. Right, and that was my dad, and I keep that sign, not because it's worth it, it's just a piece of wood that's got some paint on it. It's not really worth anything, but to me, it's worth something. Why? Not because it has intrinsic value, it's because of whose memory is connected to it. And you understand that. You know that. You know this is true, that most of our memories and the good things about life, the things that we enjoy, have a connection of a person. They revolve around people. See, parents, you'll understand this. A parent, you're never, parents are never happier than their most unhappy child. Right? Whoever your most unhappy child is, that's the limit of your happiness, right? I remember we were talking about this, our sons being in car seats, and just when they would scream bloody murder in that car seat. I think Raina rode for like 2 hours one time with a kid screaming, and it's like, I don't know what to do with him, right? She was not happy. He was not happy. My mother-in-law was not happy. Nobody was happy in the car, right? Because I think it was Kobe. Kobe wasn't happy. And so you're never as that happy unless it's connected to whose. Husbands, you'll understand this. You're never any happier than an unhappy wife. I should have got an amen from a husband. Happy wife. Hey, you know, you get it. You get it. So whose always trump what's? Whose always trump what? So who is your greatest source of happiness and joy and comfort? Strength. Who is that? See, I would say this, that even the who's in my life that have been just rock solid for me, they're still people and they're still flawed. And the greatest who that in my life that has been the greatest source of happiness and strength and comfort for me is Jesus Christ. And having that relationship in my life makes all the other relationships in my life, the quality of those relationships, better. See, that's what you have to understand, that when I am in relationship with Jesus and he is shaping me and molding me and crafting me, he makes me a better who. He makes me a better who for you, right? He makes me a better who in this relationship with all of you guys. That I can be a better pastor, I can be a better father, I can be a better husband, I can be a better son, you know, I can be a better co-worker, whatever that is for you. You can be the better of version of what you should be because Jesus is shaping you and molding you and he's bringing things to light. And it's like, that's not what I want out of you. This is not what I'm calling you to. See, I believe this, that the good life is found in a good God who gave us his good son who shared his good news. The good life is found in a good God who gave us his only begotten good son. And Jesus came to share the good news with us. What is that good news? That he is king. That he is king over everything. And that he invites you to come know him. He invites you to a life with him. He invites you to come and be in relationship with him, that where you become humble and you're able to really find what the good life really is. And it's not found in stuff. And it's not found in success, and it's not found in climbing the ladder. And all those things may be great. All those things may be wonderful in a sense, but they're not the quality of things in life that really, really make a difference for us in eternity. That stuff's temporary. Jesus is talking about the eternal. And we know this because I'm going to share some scripture with you. I'm going to go through these really quick. This is what it says, John 10:10. Somebody can come play if you want. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. You hear me quote this ad nauseum. But it's so true. There's a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. I've come that you might have life and have it overflowing. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That is the good life. And that life is found for who? In Jesus. John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You say, well, that sounds pretty exclusive. It is. It's an exclusive relationship. When you guys got married and you stood in that church, you know, or wherever it was at, and you stood before that pastor or the justice of the peace and you made that commitment, you know what you were saying? Hey, I want you to be in an exclusive relationship with me. See, we don't have a problem with exclusivity when it comes to that. When it comes to that idea of being exclusive in a relationship, but sometimes we have a problem when it comes to, well, that sounds exclusive. Why aren't there a lot of ways to get to heaven? Because it's not about getting to heaven. You need to understand this. The greatest thing in life, the good life, is not about getting to heaven. That's a place. That's just a result of the who that we're in relationship with. That's just a result of being in relationship with Jesus is heaven. Heaven is not my goal. Jesus is my goal. Because it's in relationship with Jesus that I'm crafted and formed to become what I need to be. And he makes me fit for heaven in that relationship. So that's why it's important that when we hear, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me. Revelation 3:20, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. There's a relationship there. All you have to do, Jesus is here this morning and he wants to come into your life. He's knocking at the door, Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, it's almost a contradiction in terms. You're talking about yokes and burdens, but he's like, listen, the yoke and the burden that I want to trade you with is of much different quality. So what we're invited into this morning, what we're invited into is this relationship with Jesus. And I want you to stand with me. There is nothing better than Jesus. There is nothing better than a life with Jesus. There is nothing better than that. And see, we've talked about good, and last week we talked about, hey, you're good. God's created this a good world, and when he created people, he created us good. But you know what you're not? You're not perfect. Those things are only found in a relationship with one who is perfect. That's only found in his righteousness. When we come up, that's what the prophets, you know, they said, your righteousness as is a filthy rag. That's what Isaiah said. He says it's disgusting. That's how righteous you are when it's compared to God's righteousness. But when we come to Jesus and we take on a relationship and we come into a relationship with him, it's not our righteousness. We take on the righteousness of Christ. We take on the righteousness in this right standing and this right relationship with Jesus. And it allows us to be fit to be lived for heaven. We're crafted and shaped and molded so that we can delight in the Lord. And it allows us to enjoy all the other things. When I'm able to delight in the Lord, I believe this. I believe pleasure after a while will lose its pleasure, and actually pleasure becomes pain. How many of those things, maybe it started out pleasurable, but after a while it became painful. See, because that's where we get our priorities and we get things mixed up, and we put too much on one thing and not enough on this, and we make our life about the what's and not the who. So this morning, not what makes you happy, who makes you happy? Who is it this morning that gives you happiness? Who this morning is it that gives you the good life? Heads bowed. This morning, I just want you to just know I'm about to pray, and I want you to pray this prayer with me. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus this morning, you can start that right now. And I don't care what you've done in the past. I don't care if you were just the ugliest person in the world like 30 minutes ago before you got to church. I don't care what that looked like. What I do know is this, is that Jesus invites every one of us, and he's inviting you to know him in this kind of way. So I want you to ask yourself, who makes me happy? Who ultimately is going to give me a good life and lead me to life everlasting? Lord, we come to you now. And I lead this congregation, I lead this church in a prayer of repentance. And we repent for when we have made life and all the stuff around us to be the ultimate, and it's not the ultimate. Lord Jesus, you're the ultimate. You're our focus. You are what we set our sights on this morning, and we want to delight in you. And what that means is, Lord, that we come humbly to you, Lord Jesus, to allow you to shape us and mold us and craft us to be what we need to be. Help us to become what we need to become. As we begin to look at life and the different facets and the different qualities, Lord, help us to see the wisdom that you give us is it's less about a what and more about who, and you are the who. That we can delight in you. We can delight in the life that you give us, the life that you lead us in, the life that you're shaping for us, the life that you call us to. Lord, you are a good God that invites us to the good life. Lord Jesus, that's your good news. And that's in a relationship with you that every one of us we can have right now. So Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for this chance that we have this morning to come and walk in the good life with you today. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we sing this song together?